How are we doing today? Man, I know there's a lot of people out on vacation. I'm just glad they're not here today because we wouldn't be able to fit in here in the middle of summer. How about that? We started having two services to pack everybody in. This is awesome. That's awesome. Hey, guys, we've been in a series called God's Plan for Circle J Cowboy Church. And you can be turning to Hebrews chapter 1. But we really looked at as a base of this scripture has been Hebrews chapter 11. It's a faith chapter. A lot of people see that and they think it's impossible for us to do. But I tell you, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, and we've been studying this, that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And so we are in the process, guys. We have put our faith in our personal lives here and in this church. One step at a time, by little bitty faith steps, God has brought us to where we're at today. And if we stop putting our faith in God, hey, God's going to stop taking us where He wants us to be. So now, more than ever, we should put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, both to bring a harvest of souls in the four states region, also to provide harvesters for that harvest. And I'm seeing God do that over and over and over. Men and women, you that are stepping forward and saying, I'm here to serve the Lord. And that's awesome. I'm overwhelmed by the people in Circle J Cowboy Church Ministry that are stepping forward. I talked to a pastor the other day that's a great friend of mine. He's a lot better pastor than I'll ever be. But he's struggling in his church. He has one elder and zero lay pastors. He has no support, and he's just beat up. And we've got three elders and six lay pastors, so many teams. I think it's like 150 people in leadership in this church. And that's not because of Todd Hervey. That's not because of you. That's because God has led you to have the guts to step forward and obey Him and put His faith in Him. God is doing this at Circle J Cowboy Church, and it's critical. It's very critical, especially now, that we not get comfortable. We can look around here in the middle of summer and say, woo, look at all these people. We got it going on. Hogwash. We can't go another step forward without Jesus. And we will not make another difference in someone's life without Him doing that. And so the Bible even says that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We talked about that, that those that seek Him and they put their trust in Him and they draw near, pull up next to God, put their faith in Him, they actually get rewarded by God in your life and in ministry. It even says in that verse that it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. And so we've been talking about faith. Several profound statements that the Lord has given us. Number one, it is not what we do in the name of Jesus as a church that makes any difference in other people's lives. It's what He does through us. It's not our best laid plans, God's, it's what He does through us. Another statement is true ministry is not achieved for God, it's received from God. You hear that? True ministry really is not achieved for God, it's received. That other pastor is a lot better pastor than I am, a lot better leader than I am. And for some reason, the sovereign will of God has chose to bless us. And we need to look at it that way. And so, true ministry really is received from God. Faith is hard. Faith is real hard. I can sit here and encourage you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to put your faith with His finances, with your job, with the people that you're around, how to deal with people that have done you wrong. And you can sit here and you can nod your head and look intelligent and walk out of here. And what in the world is he talking about? Faith is hard. It's like walking up to the edge of a cliff and trusting God and to step out into darkness and either trusting to put a step under you or teach you to fly. It's hard. Faith is not easy. But if we are to move forward, we're going to have to do that, guys. So we've been talking about in this series how they'll know us by our faith. People have heard already that we are trusting God to put a multi-purpose building out here to cover this arena to do ministry year-round. They've heard about it. They've heard of a little church putting their faith in God. And they're drawn to what He's doing here because of your faith and because of my faith. So let's look at this. The title of the message today, that's just what we've been covering. Here's message number two, is they'll know us by our love. So look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians 1:15 is the base of this series. It says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus," that's the first thing that we've talked about. And Paul said, "I've heard of your love towards the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him." Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. I'm asking you, God, to just flat out stop what you're doing and sit down in the middle of this service. And I'm asking you to examine my heart and every man's heart and every woman's heart and every young person's heart that we cannot, it's impossible to leave here unchanged. This is not about people getting here for the first time. This is not about people that have been here from the beginning. It's about all of us coming to a saving knowledge of you and putting our faith in you for salvation, also us putting our faith in you to get us to the next step in every area of our lives and ministry, and about us, you putting love in us to love unlovable people. So, Lord, we got love problems in this church. We got love problems in our life. We got love problems in this world. And I'm asking you to speak something that's real here today to us that we can take home with us, that would radically change the way we live, not next week, not a year from now. I'm talking about now, God, that you would radically change the way we live this week for you through your strength. Lord, put that kind of love in us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll look back at this scripture, Ephesians 1, verse 15, the second part of it says, Paul heard of their love towards the saints. And he says, because of this, he's awful proud. Listen, guys, God wants Circle J Cowboy Church to be filled with that kind of love, that people can actually come to a place and not be looked down on for their sin problems, not be looked down on because they don't have everything together in their life, but somebody will walk around them and put their arm around them and say, hey, let's get through this together. Just like Josh gave a testimony, all the people that, when he was going through a struggle, came alongside of him. Sir, you need that. Ma'am, you need that. And if you'll hang around this place long enough, I guarantee you, if you'll get in these round pen meetings, you'll get that. But if you stay from a distance and you look at this thing like this, you'll never get close enough to get the blessing that you heard Josh Roach had. You need that. Your pastor needs that. Your pastor's family needs that. Your kids need that. We need that. And so if we'll be known by our love, people will begin to hear about that. And it'll draw them. Not to Circle J Cowboy Church. Not because we got 42 acres and the biggest, fanciest building in the whole United States and a great big giant arena, but because that you love each other. You want to grow this church? Let's get rid of our sin problems and let's stop looking at each other's sin problems and let's focus on our own sin problems. Let me say that again. Let's focus on our own sin problems and stop worrying about everything else in everybody else's life. God will grow this church if we'll get that real. So God wants Circle J Cowboy Church. He wants us to love each other. Turn to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Back just about an eighth of an inch in your Bible. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. It's a command. When you see that word command, that's exactly what it means. It's a command. It's not an option. Either you're going to do it or you're not. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Do you think about that, how Jesus proved his love for us and he gave himself for us. He left the comforts of everything that was nice and what was known and what was pleasing and what was great to him. And he sacrificed it because he loved us so much. But he says, we're to love each other that way. He says, love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. Look at verse 35. By this all people. Who's all people? Everybody. I guess that means people are going to hear about Circle J Cowboy Church overseas. I guess Buddhists are going to hear about Circle J Cowboy Church. I guess devil worshipers are going to hear about Circle J Cowboy Church. All these people, I guess sinners that hate God, that atheists are going to hear about Circle J Cowboy Church. I guess other churches are going to hear about Circle J Cowboy Church. I believe that's what all means. It's not just us, it's all. He says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's a purpose statement. Look at the back of your bulletin there. Our purpose statement is Matthew 28:19-20. It's a process. It's a four-step process for every one of us. It says, number one, make disciples of all nations. That's where you surrender your life to Him. I don't care if you were baptized when you were 3 years old or 7 years old or 9 years old like I was. You become a surrendered disciple to Jesus. If that happens when you're 29 like it did with me, if it happens, whatever it is, if it happens this morning, first you become a disciple. And the step two is, what's it say? It says, then be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Step three says, teach him all that he's commanded. We're to get in the Word of God and learn how to grow up. And then step four, he says, Lord, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. So we're all in that somewhere or another in process. A lot of folks are getting baptized because they're at that step number two. Whether they got saved at camp or whether they got saved 3 years ago and they haven't gotten baptized since, right there, August the 1st, you may need to be in there. But he says here in the Scripture that this is a new covenant to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, all men are going to know that we're his disciples. So in this Scripture, it's a command for true believers. It's not for lost people. They're not to do this yet. Like when I was lost and running from God, it wasn't a command for me. I had to become a disciple first. It says a command for true believers. It commands to do what? Number one, you are supposed to love each other. You said, but I don't like that sucker. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what I think about him. That ain't what it says. It says you are to love each other in this church. Number two, it says that I am to love my herd. You are my herd, whether I like it or whether you like it or not. If you are a member of Circle J Cowboy Church, you have a brand on you called Circle J, okay? And listen, all of Circle J, we're praying that it gets to heaven. It ain't about me. It's not about this church. But God has me as your caretaker, your under-shepherd. And our herd's gotten so big, I can't take care of everything. And when a herd gets that big, what do? You hire a bunch of ranch hands. Well, we ain't got no money to hire them, so we ask them to be voluntary, stupid lay pastors. Oh, I said stupid, didn't I? Some people call them slaves. We have voluntary staff members. We've gotten so big. Got six of them. We're probably going to get more. We got all these teams that are helping us try to doctor the herd. And so I, as a pastor, I love you because you're in my herd. God's put you there. You're my brother. You're my sister in Christ. The third thing, it says that you got to love your old stinky, nasty, mustache, walrus-looking pastor. No matter what. Even though he's the one that sometimes is standing out in front of you with the Word of God and going, sook, 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 sook. Hey, guys, the church is nothing more than a working pen for every one of us. Okay? And some of you, I'd rather go, sook, 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 sook. Come on through here. We'll get you doctored up through the processing of God growing you spiritually. Some of you, I'm getting behind you going, yeah, 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 woo, yeah. Some of you don't move even with me going, yeah, 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 with the Word of God. And I sneak up there and I go, yeah. Some of you turn around and go, come right straight at me. Get out of the way, my way, for you ain't pushing me nowhere. Speaking of pushing me nowhere, we got this cute old Brangus heifer, Jim's new little calf scramble. She ain't but about that big, about 450 pounds, cute as a button. Just want to pet, walk up and pet her. She's so pretty. She's got all the bloodline and the making to do some big things, you know. Miss Robin turned cowgirl on me last Wednesday, and that heifer bloated up. And it weren't too funny when we saw her, because she was sticking out at about 8 inches on her left side. That's bad news when it gets out like that. When that flank gets smooth, there's a little bit of bloat. When it goes out a couple inches, she got. But when we're 8 inches past that hip bone, and then it's done started bloating out on the other side, you're getting in some pretty dangerous. This heifer's worth a lot of money. Jim spent all his calf's ram of money on this heifer. Okay. So here we go. Miss Robin's loading the heifer up in the trailer. She takes it to the vet and puts it out in the working pen. Okay. I'm not there because I'm meeting with some folks. I already had a meeting. Robin and Ty's taking care of this. Dr. Isabel, good vet. He's over there taking care of things. And we neck this thing down. You ever been over? He's got that big old metal gate. Crowds them right back in where there's not much room. They got to make a choice. Either go up and over or right straight down the opening in the chute. Right straight down the opening in the chute. And at the end of the chute, there's a squeeze chute. Boom! That old heifer comes to a screeching halt. And she goes to getting doctored. Thank goodness she didn't get down before she could still get through there. And the first thing she sees is Dr. Isabel coming up there with all his stuff. And he's got all this snot stuff. And he's wiping it all over this tube. And he grabs a hold of this heifer. And now she ain't been halter broke yet at all. We just got her. And he done grabbed a hold of that nose. And she says, and she can't go anywhere. And she goes, how would you like to have a tube big around as your thumb stuck up your nose? And he goes to wiggling that thing up there, and he's cramming, and he's just shoving. She's like, oh. And all she sees, now you think about this, and he gets that tube all the way into her gut, and she's so impacted and that no gas even comes out of her rumen, nothing. That's bad shape, guys. Normally, you let some pressure off. And he pulls it out, and he's making sure it's not stopped up. And then he slicks it all up again and grabs that nose again. Here we go again. Pushing it all up in here, and it gets all up. Finally, they got some of this stuff out, you know, and they're pushing on her gut, trying to get everything out. Now, you think, put yourself in that heifer spot. The only thing she could see is the sides of the squeeze chute, the head gate that had her locked up right here. And they's a poking and they's a prodding. By the way, they had to drag stuff out the other end too, and she can't do anything about it. But she ain't none too happy. And all she keeps seeing is this little old man about my size with a big mustache called Dr. Isabel bending right down in her face and starts squishing something up in there. What do me and Dr. Isabel have in common? A big old mustache. We got to the house. I walk up to the pen, got in a little old bitty pen. I say, hey, sugar, what are you doing? And I stick my hand in it, and I like to got it broke. Son, she gave me everything, and I was on the other side of the fence. Thank goodness. She's still mad at me. Every time I walk up there, she thinks I'm Dr. Isabel. Mad at me. Now, some of y'all still looking at me like that because I love you. I love you. Don't get mad at me, guys. Get mad at him. I'm just sharing the word with you. All I'm doing is shooting down in the hole. If you get hit, you're in the wrong hole. You need to get out. When you find yourself in that hole, the first thing you need to do is stop digging. Okay? So we're all in this together. So it's a command. It's not an option. It's a command. We are to love each other. And the proof of our love comes from that saving faith. And so if you can't love your brother, what you're fixing to find in this next scripture, the reason you got a love problem, maybe because you got a salvation problem. Let me say it again. The reason you got a love problem, maybe because you got a salvation problem. Look at 1 John, back of the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. There's Revelations, the little book of John, if you're going backwards, and then Jude, and then 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, let's look at verse 19. 1 John 4, verse 19, we'll read down through 21. I got it. All right. It says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says that I love God, look here carefully. If anyone says that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So you see, God says the proof of your Christianity is actually in your love. Or the proof of you not truly being a believer is in the lack of your love. So it's proof. It's proof. Jesus said, the disciples asked him, he said, and they thought they were being really good at when they said this. They said, Jesus, if those that do you wrong, he said, how many times are we supposed to forgive them? They made a suggestion to him. He said, hey, seven times? Hey, let's get real. First time somebody does you wrong, okay, think about that. It don't feel too good, does it? They sin against you. But let's say you get over that, you forgive them. Then they do it again. Now what are you thinking? Okay, you go to the preacher and you talk to him and you says, we got to forgive him. A third time, you write him off, leave him as dead, forget him. See, these disciples, they said seven times. Jesus looked at him and he said, son, no, 70 times, seven times seven. What happened if we were to sin? Jesus forgive us. He paid the price on the cross. We sin again, and he forgave us. He went and talked to the Father. What do you think, God? Should I forgive him? Should we forgive him? He did it again. And that third time, he wrote you off. See, God's trying to make a point here that we're to keep forgiving. Besides that, I learned a long time ago, forgive your enemies because it messes with their mind. It gets in their head. Just do it. Try it. So a huge part of love, guys, is forgiveness. Look at Luke chapter 6. Go back over there by John. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 6. It talks about forgiveness. I'm giving you just a few scriptures. I hope you're marking these or writing them down on the brim of your hat or something. Because if you're like me, you'll forget what I'm saying. But if you'll take this home and sit out the backside of a horse or on your back porch or something like that, chances are you'll have to get some of this, guys. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Here we go. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. I guess that means that if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. Hey, that's right. The Bible says that over and over and over and over and over again. So a huge part of love is just to be able to forgive someone when they do you wrong. So if you have a forgiveness problem, okay, if you have problems forgiving somebody in your life, it could be that the problem is not the situation that you're not able to forgive them. It could be that you have a love problem. And if you have a love problem, it could be that you have a salvation problem. Okay? You got a forgiveness problem, you got a love problem. You got a love problem, you got a salvation problem. Could be. The Bible says you're to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The last thing I want is for me to sit here and preach to you for 5 years and you go straight to hell. But the bottom line is I can't get you to heaven. But I can sure tell you what God says about getting to heaven. But the choice is yours. Don't mess up and live 29 years of your life in church like I did on my way to hell. So if we have a forgiveness problem, we got a love problem. If we got a love problem, it could be you have a salvation problem, or you sure need to repent and get things right and stop doing things on your own and move on where he wants you to go. See, it all comes back to where we at with Jesus. Love comes back to where we at with Jesus. We're not going to be able to love someone that does us wrong any more than what we are alone with our Savior on our knees. And so where you stand? I'm going to shut it down right there. Where do you stand? Where are you at today with God? Now, guys, we're going to keep talking about this more, and I guarantee you it gets more gooder and more gooder and more gooder. The Lord has got me lined up, and I got three big old giant bullets to shoot at you over the next 3 weeks in this series, and I just can't wait to get there. But I know if I try to give them to you today, you ain't going to get it all, so I ain't going to do it. I'm going to give you steak in three small bites to be continued. You have to come back. But listen, where are you at today on what we've just done? I don't know where you're at. God does. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray right now that you just get real with us. I'm asking you, God, to help us to be a loving church. And Lord, the areas that we hadn't been loving each other in, I'm asking you to help us get it right. Lord, both loving each other me loving my herd loving me. I pray, God, that people would hear about us, hear about our love towards each other. Sir, if you're here and you know that you got a forgiving problem, you know you got a loving problem, and you know the answer is you to getting things right with God, because it's impossible for you to love without God being in you. It's impossible for you to forgive without God being in you. It can't be done. So if you got those problems, I would encourage you to pray a prayer of salvation today and put your faith in Him first, and He'll change you from the inside out. Pray this prayer with me, ma'am. If that's you and you know there needs to be a change in your life, say, God, I forgive me for not forgiving people. God, I need your help. I don't love people. So, God, I need you in my heart so that you can change that. So I need to trust you the way Josh did. I'm going to trust you. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sin. I ask you that. And I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Ask him and say, I pray to receive Jesus right now. And you let him come in. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed, I've got to do this before I go. Lord, strike me dead. You've been living a lie. And before you walk out of this place, you got an opportunity to get that right with God. Now, when you have an opportunity to get things right with God, and He calls you to do that, my advice to you is you better well do it. Because if you turn your back and you walk away from Him this morning, He may do it for you. It's a whole lot easier to do what God's leading you to do on your knees than from some other position like on your back. Listen, God loves you enough to do what's right for you, not what's good to you. So if He's leading you to do something, if He's leading you to go to someone and ask them to forgive you because you ain't been loving them, you better do it. If love hasn't been coming out of you and God's convicting you of that, you better beg Him to forgive you right now and ask Him to make you the man that you're not. Ask Him to make you the woman that you are not, the young person that you're not, and trust Him to do it. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.